There are three things you find in almost every vampire story: sex, blood, and zombie takeout. Welcome to episode 136 of Zombie Takeout, the B-movie and cult movie podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, we've got a little bit of listener submitted. This is from our Facebook page in reference to last week's show. Scotto says, hearing Uncle John's reaction to my Chris Brown joke almost made me LOL at work. The reason I bring this up...
I was wondering why you were bringing up my...
I've done it once before. I don't. I listened back to the show because I honestly couldn't remember my reaction. I just kind of pushed ahead.
It's not what you said. It's what you could hear in your voice.
Ah, okay.
You just hear this disgust in your voice as you're pushing ahead. it cracked me up.
Okay.
Because I missed that while we were talking, of course, and I go back and listen, like, wow, I should be listening to my older stuff more often.
I tend to do that a lot when you make the cheap jokes, so. All right, so on to some news. First story from Cinema Blend. Zombieland director Ruben Fleischer attached to Spy Hunter movie. Vulture is reporting that Zombieland director Ruben Fleischer has signed on to not only direct a Spy Hunter movie, but also executive produce a big screen version of the 83 game.
Did you hear the disgust in my voice as you said Spy Hunter movie?
I kind of thought I picked up on it, yeah.
Yeah.
He's the latest name to attach himself to the project, which almost landed in both John Woo and Paul W.S. Anderson's wheelhouse. Fleischer reportedly will recruit new screenwriters to punch up the treatment that has been stuck in limbo for years.
I enjoyed playing that game back in the day, but there's no fucking story.
Exactly. It's one car shooting at another.
It was a straight road, too.
Was it? Okay, it's been a while.
The road never turned, if I remember right. It was just a straight damn road that you drove down the entire way.
It's similar to something we were discussing, a news story we were discussing a while back about the Twisted Metal video game.
Yeah.
Same thing. It's in a car shooting at other cars.
I think there's even less of a story in Spy Hunter than there is in Twisted Metal, though. Because
Twisted Metal, at least there's some kind of setup to the universe.
Yeah.
But I loved Zombieland. If you haven't seen it, highly recommended. Much better than John Woo or Paul W.S. Anderson. As much as the Resident Evil movies are a guilty pleasure, giving him this little of a storyline would just be horrible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is going to be interesting. Next story from this morning's Morning Spoilers on IO9. Brazil and 12 Monkeys director Terry Gilliam is returning to science fiction with the movie The Zero Theorem, which has the following official description. An eccentric and reclusive computer genius, plagued with existential angst, works on a mysterious project aimed at discovering the purpose of existence or lack thereof. Once and for all. Inglourious Bastards' Christoph Waltz is playing the computer genius, and Warhorse's David Thewlis, also from the Harry Potter movies, and Michael Clayton's Tilda Swinton are reportedly also joining the movie. So you've got Gilliam, Tilda Swinton, David Thewlis.
It really doesn't matter as long as you've got Gilliam.
But it also helps that he's got some brilliant actors in the cast.
Yeah, sure.
And a computer genius trying to algorithmically determine the purpose of existence sounds very Hitchhikers.
Yes.
You have Gilliam taking a shot at a Hitchhiker sort of thing. This is going to be a thing of beauty.
Yeah. I'm in.
Absolutely. All right, so on to this week's movie. Concluding our Trailer Clash trilogy, this is a trilogy of movies whose trailers we reviewed in our Trailer Clash episode last April Fool's Day.
Are we going to have a quadrilogy to finish out sometime in the future?
If Pusher comes out, okay. I really don't want to see the Chernobyl Diaries.
Really?
Do you remember that trailer?
You know what? I just re-listened to that episode yesterday just to see what was, to see your opinions about this one coming up. It can't be any worse than the movie we're doing right now.
That is a distinct possibility. So maybe not next week. We've got a request for next week. But at
Sorry
some point,
to kill the suspense about how I feel about
yeah.
this movie,
Well,
but I
I
think
was
it's
going to
pretty
kill that at the
obvious.
begin after right after the plot summary. So, for myself, maybe we'll get to Chernobyl Diaries. If pressure ends up happening, we'll definitely get to that because
Yeah.
that's
No
Coyle.
Freaky Friday. No Freaky Friday.
I don't know if that would be in our wheelhouse, but
All
hey,
right, yeah,
if
we don't
someone
have to do
out there
Freaky
wants it,
Friday.
request
And John Astin is a male chauvinist.
it. Anyway, I'm not sure if I said it. This week's movie is from 2011, The Moth Diaries. And of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by painfully obvious subtext. When you want to put your message across as overtly as possible, while still maintaining a measure of plausible deniability, try painfully obvious subtext.
And also brought to you by suspense. When making a thriller, it's best to use just a little suspense,
Son.
maybe some. There was a fucking bone. Anyway, what we have here, we have these girls at a boarding school, and then I gouged my eyes out, so I missed the rest of the film. I shoved a pen in my ear. I was so hoping to impale my
That was an
brain with it,
embarrassing laugh, but I'm leaving it in.
but damn. All right. Anyway, we have the girls in the school. It's gonna be the best year ever, which I commented on through the trailer, going, "You know you're in trouble when you heard that." And God, was I right.
There
And
was
you also,
one thing we got wrong in our review of the trailer, but I'll get to that.
well, the one thing in the trailer that I was saying, and you could tell I'm just being hopeful that it's going to be a good movie, was that there's some sort of twist, something that we're not expecting, something that not obvious. And goddamn, was I wrong there, because it was just as the trailer. The whole movie is in the trailer. There's nothing. That's really the plot summary
We
of
made
that
one
trailer.
false assumption.
What?
We thought only one person who was close to her would die. Two died, two got expelled.
Yeah.
Aside from that, the trailer has everything.
Yeah, pretty much. The deaths also are all off screen. So you really, I mean, it's the trailer is the movie. It's crazy. I mean, that's it. Because there isn't that much going on in the trailer.
No.
But anyway, we have the girls in the school. It's going to be the best year ever. They're just, they go out of their way to make sure people know that they're just regular, ordinary girls who want to have a good time, and have some fun. Not too crazy. Good God, why did they spend so much time on that? We have the mysterious stranger who arrives, who turns out to be haunting the place for 100 years.
Or so our protagonist thinks.
But yeah, she just showed up that year. It doesn't make any sense. Anyway, is she a vampire? We see her floating around to quickly, pretty much say, yeah, she is.
Well, we also have an extremely unreliable narrator.
True. True.
And that could be the one interesting thing about this movie is how do you interpret it?
Well, the problem is they pretty much don't discredit her at any
But they
point.
never credit her either. They never really established any of it.
What was she doing in the coffin in the end?
Well, okay, hilarity ensues.
Yes, nothing ensues really.
Well, just to
Absolutely
make it official.
nothing ensues in this movie.
Before we get back to that debate, like I said, I'm just going to give away my general opinion. We've used the car wreck analogy a number of times with bad movies.
Yes.
You don't want to watch, but you can't look away.
Right.
This was a car wreck in slow motion.
Yeah.
Because the pace of the movie is just so lumbering and it is so excessively melodramatic.
Right.
It's a car wreck in slow motion.
That is a perfect analogy for it.
And the big question I have about the movie, who was it aimed at?
Yeah, that was very confusing about it too.
Normally, you can tell the demographic very easily from a movie. And sometimes it's a bit confusing, and that can be a good thing. But in this case, okay, it looks like a typical young adult teen girl movie.
Right.
You know, vampires, teenage girls at a boarding school.
Right.
It should be obvious.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got very obvious lesbian overtones.
Right.
Which could make that audience a bit uncomfortable. And way too melodramatic and nowhere near explicit enough for the male crowd.
My worry is that is part of the horror, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
It is the use of lesbianism, you know?
Possibly. But, I mean, the problem with that is it's almost, this is why the subtext, the sponsor was painfully obvious subtext.
Right.
Because it just edges up to that moment where the cheesy music would kick in a softcore movie. And it stops. It doesn't go any further to that. It just, you know, changes direction. Which makes no sense. Also, and this is just a side note, were the nightgowns part of their school uniforms? In addition to wearing the uniforms during the day, which is perfectly normal.
They all
for
wear
boarding
the same
school.
Fucking nightgowns
yes.
at night, yeah.
I have a feeling the production got them very cheaply.
And they weren't of this time period.
No, very, very Victorian.
Right.
And it's gothic horror. It's, well, I can't really say it's gothic horror. It's an attempt at gothic horror, which they kind of, I think they were an attempt to fit in with that kind of feel.
Well, that was the huge problem with the film. And they make it painfully obvious who they're trying to emulate by having the gothic horror taught in the literary class.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much emotion involved with those, you know, original stories. That just wasn't here.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about this movie was just, you know, the emotion was taken out of everything.
As I said in our Trailer Clash episode, it is the after-school special of lesbian vampire movies.
Yeah, after-school special is, I think I even put that somewhere in my notes too. Yeah, because the darkness came and it was just a nosebleed.
Yeah. And I think one thing that would have improved it, now I'm blanking on his name, Basil Exposition, that actor, I can never remember.
I was going to say, they
Michael something or other.
To have only one thing improve this, oh my god.
No, but Basil Exposition, the other actor, Michael something or other, Michael Irons, is it?
York, I think.
Michael York, I can never remember his name. Michael York as the teacher, because he was Basil Exposition.
Yeah, and the whole thing with the teacher was just so absurd.
Although I did kind of like how he got progressively creepier until he crossed the line.
He was like a teenage boy himself, though.
But he kind of edges forward in that direction. You know,
could you honestly see an older man making moves like that?
No.
In the way he was.
No.
I mean, yeah, I'm talking, yeah, creepy dudes are there, but the whole fact that he's making the moves while he's dismissing what she's saying.
Yeah.
And then surprised that these moves did not work. Only if you're a 15-year-old boy do you think that you could just somehow edge around the issue at hand.
Well, I'm not saying it was interesting how they did it. I just liked that it was done step by step.
Yeah.
He wasn't just a lech from go.
Well, and it was kind of, it was too, you know, mechanical as well.
Yeah.
And there was hardly any fallout from it either. No. It was just kind of, she gave him a look in the end.
Well, and here is, this very nicely gets back to our debate from earlier.
Yeah.
No one was there for the kiss. No one was there when they were in the car.
Right.
No one was there when she saw the body in the trunk when she burned it.
Right.
All of the evidence of that Arnessa was a vampire and the evidence that his teacher was coming onto her, no one else saw.
That lived.
Yeah.
Because the friend saw her.
But the friend said it could have been a trick of light.
But she didn't really believe that.
But she said it could have been a trick of light. There has to be a rational explanation. So none of the supernatural stuff is really confirmed.
If the friend hadn't been there to see it, or if it really could have been a trick of the light, I'd be with you on that. But they're pretty much saying that there is no, subtlety here. She was a
See,
vampire.
I took it the other way. I, to
There's.
me, it was all in Becca's head.
I would have loved it if they went that way. I was so hoping they were going to go that way, but they didn't. They didn't have any evidence that went against her
But they
in
didn't
the end.
have any evidence other than what she saw that went for her.
But the friend saw it. She was denying it, but she saw it and knew she saw it.
She saw something odd.
And you have the friend dying. Everything that she said happens. She said that, she got better because the visitors weren't allowed, and if she comes back, she's going to die. She came back, she died. Everything in this movie is telegraphed at least a half hour before it
I
happens.
think the fact that we've interpreted it in opposite ways may be the one interesting thing about this movie. Because, I mean, it is very predictable, and
Oh,
the
God.
99.9% of the performances are crap.
Before we started recording, yeah, I said I cannot remember a movie that I sat down for and really just knew what was going to happen so far ahead.
The only decent performance, and I think she really hit it out of the park, was Sarah Bolger, who played Becca,
Which,
the protagonist.
okay. Yeah, I wouldn't say hit it out of the park. I'd say she held. The
Maybe
fact that
it's. Yeah, she
fact that she
held.
had an accent and was able to cover that.
Yeah, she did a great job covering her accent. And, okay, maybe hit it out of the park is excessive, maybe just by comparison with everybody
Right,
else.
right. For this movie, yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, there was just so much incompetence in this movie.
And Scott Speedman, who played the teacher, the creepy teacher, wasn't bad. I've seen him in a number of things. He's always just kind of very solid and believable. He's never really good or bad.
Lily Cole annoyed the hell out of me.
Everybody else annoyed the hell out of me, but yes, she did as well.
She, when she's supposed to be menacing, I just was like, just found her annoying. Just like, get the fuck out of my face. It was kind of like the right thing that you'd expect to hear from the response from her line, not, ah, she's gonna get me.
Yeah. And they're all the younger, all the girls are were annoying except for Sarah Bolger. None of them could act their way out of
And
a
I
paper bag.
swear Lily Cole was trying to change her accent, and it kind of went in and out a little bit.
Wouldn't
It was
surprise me.
almost
I
like a
didn't pick up on
reverse
it, but.
Costner, I thought.
And you'd think that because this is the second time I've seen this. I watched it a couple of weeks ago.
I don't know how you could make it through this twice. I really was almost done playing
Well,
after the first 15. I really was.
I don't know if this was on air or not, but my description when we were talking about it after I saw it the first time was it was awesomely bad.
Yeah.
And I think that would make we had to do it at that point because even if I have to sit through it again, it's something we have to cover. The thing is, you'd think that having seen it once and adjusting my expectations would make it better. I think it actually made it worse. I went in with, because I had no expectations the first time. Maybe slightly low because the trailers looked so obvious.
Yeah.
But I was hopeful. I didn't know what to expect. It was awesomely bad. This time I knew it was awesomely bad. It was still not enjoyable. I couldn't just roll with it and laugh at it. It doesn't even work as an unintentional comedy.
Yeah.
And I don't know how a movie that can be this bad doesn't work as an unintentional comedy.
It's pretty close to it.
This is almost Wizzo bad. This
Yeah.
is almost as bad as The Room.
Very much so. Acting
That was
wise,
a
it is.
blast.
Directing wise, this is better than The Room.
Yes, true.
But acting wise, these are really bad performances.
And speaking of the director, Mary Harron also directed American Psycho.
Right.
The monologue at the end, was it me or was that very American Psycho?
It was just it all just it summed it up really. I mean,
Did, but it just felt very I can't remember the character's name in American Psycho, but Christian Bale's character. It just felt like something he would say. He always had these internal monologues going. And it just felt like one of those.
I almost wonder if it's a commentary on just the lack of emotion in, today's youth? I mean, am I missing something
I
there?
don't think it's that deep.
Because really, I think the phrase I use in my notes, monumentally anticlimactic.
Yeah.
The perfect, it really does sum up the whole movie is there was nothing, and is the end of that monologue, there's nothing there. Look all you want for a body or substance, but you won't find it because nothing is there.
Now, I said there's nothing, I didn't enjoy it at all. There were two scenes that I thought were kind of fun, at least in an unintentional comedy kind of way. The bathtub scene where Becca, it's Becca and Lucy, Lucy's in the bath. Becca is literally leaning over the tub
Right.
and like an inch away from her face.
Yeah.
It was the moment when the cheesy movie would cheesy music would kick in the porn movie.
Yes.
And that was amusing that they would actually make it that overt.
Right.
And the scene where I literally, well, not literally, but I came very close to falling out of my chair laughing, the blood shower.
I didn't really have much of a reaction to it.
Really?
It was just kind of, it was there,
It's Becca and Ernessa, Lily Cole's character, the supposed vampire, in the
Right.
library alone. Ernessa takes a razor blade to her wrist, and a backstory of something we should explain to all for all of this. Becca is going kind of insane, or possibly going insane, because her father committed suicide the summer before this year, and she's wondering if whatever caused him to do that is in her as well, and all of that. This is the explanation for the she's going insane theory.
Right.
It's so that scene. It's Ernessa and Becca in the library, and early in the movie, Becca had a razor and was kind of dragging it across her wrist, kind of thinking about suicide. At this scene, in this scene, Ernessa grabs the has a razor blade, slices her wrist, literally showers the both of them with blood. I mean, Uwe Boll doesn't go through this much fake blood in a movie.
Right.
Troma doesn't go
Well,
through
I don't know
this much
about
fake
that.
blood.
I don't know about that. That was really one of the complaints I had about this was that was it.
Well,
That
that was
was
the
the
only
only,
really bloody
that's
scene,
pretty
yeah.
much all you got.
It's not a horror film, let's just say that.
You shoot your load right there and you're done.
Yeah, pretty much. But that was in this overly serious, obnoxiously melodramatic movie, just to have that much fake blood, just that overtly, killed me. It was hilarious.
I thought it was about to get interesting. And then it all went away.
I actually did kind of enjoy the ending after that. Maybe because I laughed at that part and it kind of cheered me up a bit, because the rest, up until then, it was an absolute fucking slog. Maybe that put me in a better mood, and I did kind of enjoy the burning at the end, the arson scene.
Like you kept feeling that it was gonna go somewhere and that something cool was gonna happen,
Yeah.
some it was going to start getting interesting. Like they did that where the one lesbian breaks the window with the chair. You're like, oh wow, shit's going to get weird here. Someone's going to fall out the window and die right there.
He just gets expelled.
They get expelled, All right. So there goes another interest, one less interesting character. No deaths up to that point.
And proof that it wasn't intended for the LGBT crowd, because the only out bisexual was the first to leave.
Right. And not get killed.
No, true, she didn't die.
Right.
But of course, because it's a horror movie, the one who had sex had. No, she didn't die either, the one who had sex. She just got expelled.
Yes.
They broke that rule. I'm shocked. And what you also, well, then again, you could say that Ernessa and Lucy did, although it was indeterminate whether or not that was, they were shagging or she was speeding or what was going on there.
And how emotionless was all of the sex in this movie?
Yeah.
Losing her virginity was pretty much like a line on the grocery list, Okay, gonna study, they go bang my boyfriend, and then we're gonna, go play some field hockey or something like that. I mean and then just walking away from it, I mean, the
Yeah.
emotion has been drained of everything in this movie.
But it is also somehow, conversely, obnoxiously melodramatic and
Right.
overwrought.
Right. when they do put emotions in there, they're just so obviously fake.
And excessive. And the thing is, just when I was kind of getting into that overwrought melodramatic vibe, because I can go with that at times, someone would drop an obnoxiously silly line and it would kill it for me. Some of the dialogue was just Wizzo quality, practically.
Definitely. The writing on this was just atrocious.
And I perused the first couple of pages of the book. This is based on a book by Rachel Klein, also called The Moth Diaries. Perused the first couple of pages on Amazon. I can't say it's good, but at least it sets it up a lot more. You find out from Go that Becca is unstable, and it's all from her perspective. And at least you have a bit more understanding of why she's so intense. This one, it's just the general feel of the movie, and you don't find out about her father till about halfway through officially, so you don't know why she's losing it. I think if you knew that early on, like as in the book, it would make a bit more sense. It'd give you a bit of context for how she for her perspective and why she's an unreliable narrator.
Well, this whole movie is a method to drive someone to suicide. I have a lot of
I
zingers
wouldn't go that far. I mean, it's not Showgirls Crush or It's Bad. It's not far, but it's not
damn
that bad.
close. And I have to take one thing back about the director.
Okay.
Lucy's funeral. You
What?
can see the eyes move
I did not notice that. I think
in the
I
casket.
wasn't being that harsh on it. I wasn't being that picky.
I just sat there. They do a close-up on her face.
Oh man.
I mean, I've got the monitor, the big screen monitor here, so it's just her face,
Yeah.
and no problem, her eyes are moving.
Wow.
All they're missing were people in tuxes throwing footballs around.
Alright, so I'm pretty much done with my notes. No room for any sequels, obviously. I'm sure Becca killed herself not long after the movie. Or at the end of the
A transformer would have been fucking welcome in this one.
story. Yeah. So, no sequels. Hopefully, never a bloody remake.
Ever. 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 Okay.
On the brink.
Cinemax version.
Okay. I'll rephrase. If they can do it right, if they can really take it where it needs to go, if you get my meaning, then I'll watch a remake.
But only that.
So, on to brains.
On to brains.
Like I said, I did enjoy Sarah Bolger's performance, and the ending I kind of liked. I guess, the blood shower made me laugh enough that I just kind of, I don't know, I got a kick out of that ending, so I'm going 1.5.
If I didn't feel Pete Townsendish about this one, like Sucker Punch, because these were clearly not girls. They were not women.
Right.
They were robots. There was absolutely no emotion to this, unless, of course, the part called for it or the programming called for it of the robot. And to just have a film where the twist is that there is no twist, I'm going with half a brain. One would just be entirely too generous. And it doesn't go the full
No,
Showgirls.
no.
Probably partially because of that, the scene with the blood shower, which is probably the best shot scene in the whole fucking film,
Yes,
actually.
yes. It is the high point.
It is. The 30 seconds, you're done. I think that clip is actually on IMDb. You can watch it right
Oh, it
now.
is. Okay, I'll have to look for it because
I think it is.
I found a lower quality recorded off a TV version for the show notes, but I'll see if I can grab that one.
Right, done. You've seen the whole thing. And at least when it comes to bad acting, all I have to say, at least Busey made it look like he stubbed his toe. These guys, piranha eating their legs, would just be like a, I guess they just kind of nibbled and then they went away and my legs fell off. It was seriously that level of emotion. Unless that was the statement they were going for, And to have the balls to have talk about Gothic literature and to say that you're going to emulate that somehow when you really couldn't carry the jock strap of any of those literary
No,
geniuses
no.
that they're trying to emulate, half a brain is about all they really deserve.
Okay. So what have we learned?
What have I learned today? Don't leave razors in a library.
And I learned that sometimes it really is all in your head.
You know, half the time I was expecting the school to launch up in a sp as a spaceship in the end.
That would
It
have
was
greatly
that
improved.
bad. Yeah,
All right, so until next week, when we will be reviewing Barbarella, as requested by Matt Goranson. Hopefully much better, at least more fun.
has to be. Jesus.
Go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, of course the episode itself, which you're already listening to. Links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google Plus. The movie list, which has everything we've reviewed so far and everything we are planning to review, up through the big bus. You all know the gag by now.
But when are we doing the big bus anyway?
The request form, if you have a movie you'd like to hear us review, leave it on the request form. And the recommendations list, every movie we've given four brains or better to so far.
Not
So
this one.
no, this there was never a chance.
Need a shit list.
Huh.
Although you gave this more than a brain, so.
That's interesting. It'd be a very short list. Maybe I'll add it to the recommendations page, just as, a void. And lots of other things that I can't think of right now because you just completely threw me off. You could also email us at zombietakeout@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail 414-368-ZTO1 or for the alphanumerical challenge
Go watch him on
414-368-9861.
Silence.
I'm actually getting that down from memory. Until then, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there
There
you
you
are.
are.
This is really fucking stupid.
As much as the I'm blanking on the name of the franchise now. As much as the Resident Evil movies are a guilty pleasure,